Tonight, I'm going to bring a short devotional again, like I've been doing on a Wednesday night. This is, I think it's the third one, on nevertheless, on Paul's usage of the word nevertheless. So, if you'd like to open your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 5 to 11. Bit of a long reading, but nobody complains if you have a wrong... Remember that, Lachlan? You've got a big long reading, no one's going to complain, all right? Nobody's going to get up and say, oh, he's reading too much Bible, are they? Maybe we could try and just read the whole Bible. I know one book in the Bible that you could just read it through and talk about it as you go along. And I'm going to be talking about it on Sunday. Psalm 119. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. Wonderful chapter. So, anyhow, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 11 says this: And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he, that is God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, eh? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture, Lord, which talks to us about discipline, Lord, and chastisement and correction, Lord. And we know, Lord, that as your children, we need to be directed, Lord. And when we don't obey your directions, then you will chastise us, Lord. And we know that the illustration here where you tell us about our earthly fathers chastising us and disciplining us, and they do it for a different reason, Lord. Probably the same reason in some instances, but not always. And you, Lord, chastise us for our good, Lord. So we pray, Lord, tonight, help us to hear what you want to say to each one of us in this short message, Lord, and help us to be doers of your word, Lord. Do what we learn in your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. During recent prayer meetings, I've been bringing short devotionals for our encouragement and instruction based upon the Apostle Paul's common usage of the word nevertheless. Nevertheless. In part one, we examine the expression from 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 6, which says, Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us. In part two, we examine what Paul stated in 2 Timothy 2:19, Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. That's the two we've already looked at, eh? Tonight I want to bring part three in the series, which I've entitled, Nevertheless Afterwards. Nevertheless Afterwards, which is based upon verse 11 of our opening scripture, where we just read, Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. No chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, the peaceable fruit of righteousness, it bears fruit in our life, the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them which are exercised thereby. We need to acknowledge that the chastening hand of the Lord is a loving and protective hand. Alright? The chastening of the Lord is a loving and protective hand. His chastening is a demonstration of his love for us and his concern for our spiritual and physical well-being. In verse 6 we read, For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges for their own good, treating each one of us individually as though we were his very own child. Now, I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but in these perilous and evil days of political correctness and gender equality, a philosophy that is even invading the majority of so-called churches throughout the world, perhaps I should just clarify that although the language used in these verses might appear to those people who always want to find fault with the Bible to suggest that God is only concerned with his sons to the exclusion of his daughters, this is not so. Even though the word son is used 5 times in these verses, it doesn't mean that God is not talking about his daughters. Verse 5 of Hebrews 12, the very first verse in our opening scripture, is gender inclusive. It says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children." Children. God speaks to us as children, both boys and girls. In Galatians 3:28, the Bible clearly tells us that as far as human relationships goes with God, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Also in Revelation 3:18, Jesus says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Not only the sons, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. God says that as many as he loves, he chastens. As many as he loves, he says, not just the sons. Does God love girls? Does God love girls? God does not refer to sons above daughters because he clearly tells us that there is neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. If you have been saved and are a child of God, and that scripture is talking about salvation, by the way. It's not talking about ministries in the church, which the Pentecostals will use to tell you that women can be preachers. There is no difference between male or female. But that scripture is talking about salvation. There is no difference between male or female, Jew nor Greek, with salvation. So, if you have been saved and are a child of God, then God loves you and deals with you as he does one of his favourite sons, whether you're a male or a female. Okay. And if you're wondering why I'm mentioning this, or you think that this subject is not an issue in the churches today, then perhaps you've never heard about gender-neutral Bibles. Have you heard of them? Gender-neutral Bibles. You haven't heard of them? Well, where have you been hiding, you people? You need to find out what's happening in the churches. You need to find out. You need to be aware of what's going on around the world. Now, Brother Cloud writes his O Timothy. He mentions it. He mentions it. If you're reading O Timothy, you'll find out what's happening in all these other churches that can be a danger to us. Gender-neutral Bibles. Gender-neutral Bibles. So, they're all the rage with those who are promoting political correctness and gender equality. It's in the churches too, not just in the world. Let's be sure that the Bible doctrine of chastening incorporates both males and females, and it deals with the entire subject of child training for both boys and girls. It answers every question. It includes instruction and guiding in the right way and correcting the son or the daughter who may be heading in a wrong direction. The Greek word translated as chasteneth in verse 6 of our opening scripture is paideia, and has the following meanings. It can mean tutorage, like being taught something, as in educational training. It can mean disciplinary correction, as in chastening, chastisement, instruction and nurture. The Greek word has been used in various other scriptures in the New Testament where it has been translated as learn, taught, instruct, nurture, punish and teach. All right? So it can have all of those meanings. The word that God has used here in our scripture tonight as chasteneth, that's what it can mean, that Greek word. Although God's chastening will definitely cause discomfort, nevertheless it should be welcomed and endured as one of the proofs of our sonship, that we truly are the children of God. We read in verse 8, "But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Illegitimate, in other words. Chasten and chastisement both come from the same Greek word. And God is saying that without either, we would be like illegitimate sons, without the father figure to bring correction when we wander from his way. The true Bible-believing Christian will not complain about the chastening that comes from the Lord, but he'll be happy with the fact that God's correction is not random or without purpose. If you're receiving chastening from God, God's got a purpose, right? He doesn't do it just for fun. He is the perfect Father who chastens us for our good and for his glory. In verse 9 and 10, we learn that it is through God's correction and chastening that we become partakers of his holiness. Verse 9 reads, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days," that is our earthly fathers, "for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he," God, "does it for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." We live in a day described in Scripture as the lovers of self-generation. 2 Timothy 3:1 and 2 reads, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." And the list continues on for another two verses, describing the general woeful character and moral condition of the people in the last days, our current generation. Not just in the world. It's in the churches too, all right? We need to be on our toes and watch for it, all right? Most young people in this generation, I'm sad there's not more, only two obedient girls, young girls, women here tonight. I wish there was more, especially young blokes, because I grew up as a young bloke, you see, and I know what young blokes are like. And I used to knock around with a few too, you see. So I've got this experience about how young blokes think and act. But anyhow, many young people in this generation, even many in the church, are sad to say, probably would not even understand about giving reverence to our earthly fathers if they dared to correct them according to what God's word says on the subject. Despite that, however, when our earthly fathers disciplined us, it could sometimes be done in anger. And sometimes it could be done for their own benefit and self-interest, instead of expressly for the benefit of the child. As is always the case with God's chastisement and correction, sometimes it could even be done for the sake of a bit of peace and quiet, and for the comfort in their own lives. Have you ever noticed that? Fathers will discipline a kid because it's annoying him. Can't watch the TV with the kid playing up, you see. So they'll discipline the kid. What for? Not to teach the kid, but to make it a better life for him. Get the kid out of the road. God doesn't do that. He does it for our good. God is not like our earthly fathers, my friends. He corrects us and chastens us for our profit. The end result being that we might become partakers of his holiness, and that we might be conformed to the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In amongst whatever chastening God might be performing in our lives, we need to be mindful of the nevertheless afterwards that goes with it, all right? There's a nevertheless afterwards that goes with God's chastisement. In verse 11 we read, "Now no chastising for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." That's a promise from God. In a day when so many church leaders, particularly in the Pentecostal and charismatic denominations, are falsely claiming that a loving God would never permit his faithful children to suffer adversity of any kind, we must listen to God's word and reject the teaching of those who would twist the scriptures and lead believers to think that any suffering they experience is due to their supposed lack of faith. Now, I saw lots of that in the Pentecostal church. I even saw people, when that husband, when he died, they blamed him for his death. Yeah, they blamed him. He was part of the Christian Outreach Centre, yeah, COC. They believed in healing. And if you got faith, you wouldn't die. And he was sick with cancer for a long time. And they just kept telling him, you've got to have faith. And he died. The bloke died. And right after his funeral, my boss, he was the bass guitar player in that church, he came and said to me that it was sad that he died. He didn't need to die. He just didn't have enough faith. They blamed that poor bloke. He shouldn't have died because healing is in the atonement. Healing's in the atonement. If everybody dies, it says it's appointed for every man wants to die. It's going to die. Unless you go in the rapture, of course, that's different. But everybody dies. You try to make out, nobody dies. So they'll try and they'll say, oh, if you've got some big problem in your life, because you've got lack of faith, you see. As Christians, we need to have faith in whatever God says in His Word. But in addition to that, we must also reject all teachings that are contrary to the Bible. We need to remember that God often permits His children to experience deep trials and great sufferings. Anyone had any suffering since they became a Christian? No? No? But you know what I'm saying? Suffering, not because you lack of faith. God's teeth. What did you learn through it, eh? What did you... Did it change your life? Did it change your outlook on life and God? That's the goal. That's the goal. So God permits those things in our life to bring us to the place that He wants us to be. In Romans 5, verses 3 to 5, the Apostle Paul tells us, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And we'll close with verse 11 of Hebrews 12, which was our opening scripture tonight. You're still in your Bible there. Let's read verse 11 of Hebrews 12, which says, now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous. We're not happy about it, all right? Not giving us great joy, but grievous. Seems to be hard. Nevertheless afterward, that's the title of my message, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The fruit of righteousness, he says here, nevertheless afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The fruit of righteousness, mentioned in Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Amen? Amen? Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this short study in Your Word.